Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Wednesday night service again. Glad y'all could make it out, and glad you could tune in online if you're watching online. Let me go ahead and pray for us before we get started. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to get up here and share your word. Father, I just pray that you bless this message and speak through me. I pray that nothing that's said is my own opinions or my own ideas, Lord. I pray that everything that's said is from you. And I pray for the people that hear it, Lord, that their hearts will be open and their ears will be open to receive it. Lord, I also just lift up all the people that we know that are suffering right now, Lord. There's a lot of people that we know that are sick. Some have COVID, some have other things. And we know of a lot of people that are struggling financially, Lord. I pray that you bless them. Lord, we just give you this service and lift it up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now we can get started. Man, it's really cool in here tonight. I don't usually get cold. Or not in here anyway. All right, I'll just go ahead and dive right in. Last week, we talked about doing things God's way and how the only way we can do things God's way is through being obedient to God. And how sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to be obedient and how we can still be obedient to God even when it is hard. You know, there's ways that we can be obedient even when we don't feel like it. We can make the choice to obey God even when we don't want to. And I told you last week that God had changed my message, and that's why we talked about what we did last week. So this week, I want to pick up on the one that I had been planning on doing last week. And that was the last characteristic of Jesus that we covered 3 weeks ago. And the last one that we covered was love. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. We'll pick back up, you know, where we left off like 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. Maybe four, counting BBS. I can't really remember. And we'll be talking about how we can love like Jesus loves. And how we can share the love of Jesus with people who don't really even know what love is. You know, I thought about that while I was preparing this message. You know, I think about my first marriage quite a bit. You know, I didn't really get to go to public schools and stuff. I got in a lot of trouble when I was younger, and I spent all my teenage years in a youth facility down in Nashville. So I never really got to date or have a girlfriend or stuff like that. So when I got out, I was almost 20. I didn't get out until I was like 19 years old. So I had no idea what love was. And my wife came from about the same background, so she didn't really have any idea what love was. So our marriage didn't last just a very few months. You know, I don't even think we were married not even 2 years, because we didn't know what love was. So I think a lot of people are like that. They know what the worldly idea of love is, but they don't know what true love is. And we've got love so watered down in today's society that even when we say love, you know, nobody is hardly ever actually talking about true love. They're just talking about things that they like or something that's popular, you know, like somebody can say, I love popcorn, you know, but they don't really love popcorn. Or they can say, I love your shoes, you know. Nobody actually loves your shoes. They might like your shoes, but they don't love your shoes. So I figured I would do a study on it. And I looked up some definitions of love, you know, not in Webster's or any kind of regular dictionary like that. I was looking up, you know, where it uses the word love in the Bible, in different places and different verses. And, you know, I would look them up in my Strong's Concordance. And there is a ton of different meanings for the word love in the Bible, you know, depending on where it's used and, and how it's used. You know, we get the New Testament mostly is Greek words, and the Old Testament is the Hebrew words, and they all mean different things. And, you know, if we don't know that, when we read through the Bible, we just see the word love over and over and over, and we just take for granted that it means the same thing everywhere we see it, but it don't. You know, in some places, it'll mean affection. You know, sometimes it's showing your love through acts of kindness. You know, sometimes it's general, like you love a whole bunch of people or a certain group of people or a whole nation of people. And there's even words in there that are called love, but the definition of it means hate. You know, it's the opposite of love, but it's the same root of it. And we'll talk about that a little more later on. But there's just a whole bunch of different meanings of love in the Bible. I just picked some of them for examples, you know, so I can give you the definitions of a few different kinds. The first example I have is in Matthew 22. A lot of y'all are probably familiar with these verses, 37 through 39. And it says, Jesus said unto him, this is where the guy comes up to Jesus and says, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And this is Jesus' reply to him. You know, some people call it the golden rule. They call it different things, but this is what it says. So Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that word love that he reads there, so if you're reading the Bible to yourself and he says that thou shalt love thy neighbor to as thyself, you know, you might be sitting at home saying, well, what does that mean? You know, what does it mean to love somebody like that? So I looked up that definition, and that word actually means to love with every breath you take. It means that you breathe love into that person. It means to be so in love with them that you dote after them. You know, you're in love with them. And you can't get them out of your mind. It's not just in your head. It's in your heart. And you think about them constantly. That's what you think about all the time. You know, that's way different than telling somebody, I love your shoes. You know, you don't tell somebody you love their shoes all the time, and you don't think about them all the time. But that word love there that he uses means you're just totally consumed with them. That's all you can think about. That's the way we're supposed to be about God. You know, the way we think about God, we should have God on our minds all the time. And I believe, you know, we're called the body of Christ. I think that's the way that we should think about each other and love each other as a church family. You know, we should constantly be thinking about each other. You know, we get to know one another. We get to know one another's problems. And I think if you're going through a hard time, I should love you so much that I feel like I'm going through that hard time with you. And not only feel like I'm going through it, I should be willing to do whatever I can do for you, like I'm doing it for myself. I should be willing to do whatever I would do for myself if I was in that same situation. I should be willing to do that for you. That's what that kind of love is talking about. Or if something really great is happening in your life, you know, it should make me as happy for you as it would be if it was happening to me. You know, I should get that kind of joy out of it. And Paul talks about that in Romans 12, verses 15 and 16. It says to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. It says be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. So we shouldn't just be worried about ourselves. We should care so much about the people in our church family that if things are great for them, we rejoice with them. But if things are not great with them, then we should be hurting right along with them. You know, we should love them that much. That's the same word love that Jesus uses in John 13, verses 34 and 35, when he gives a new commandment to his disciples. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, the world's not going to, they're not going to see Jesus, and they're not going to see that we're his disciples just because we walk around and, you know, shake each other's hands on Sunday morning and tell each other, you know, I love you, man, I love you too. It's going to see Jesus and see that we're his disciples because of the way we treat one another. It's going to know we're his disciples when somebody's life is falling apart and we don't scatter and leave them to fend for themselves. You know, that's what we see in the world all the time. We're supposed to be different than that. When somebody that we love, if their life's falling apart, you know, we should flock to that person as a church family and actually be the love that that person needs right then. That's love in action. And that's how we're supposed to be different from the world. You know, we're not supposed to look like the world. The Bible says we're supposed to be peculiar people. We're not supposed to fit in. Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 16, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that is how the world's going to see Jesus, when we're actually being what we're supposed to be, and that is to be love. The only way the world's going to see our light shine is through love. You know, I just said, if we're no different than the world, our light's not going to shine. We're more like the world, or more like the word for love that Jesus used in Luke 20. This is a very different meaning of the word love. That's what I was saying. Every time you see it in the Bible, it don't mean the same thing. In Luke 20 and verse 46, he's describing a totally different kind of love. He says, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. You know, that word for love, it's not affectionate. You know, it's cold. It's more self-serving. It's more directed towards, the definition says it's more directed like towards an object or something. You know, you could use that towards those shoes, but it's just a cold word. It's not genuinely affectionate. It shows no kind of feelings for anybody. It's just self-serving. It talks more about a mental sense of duty or obligation than actual love that comes from the heart. And that's pretty much the same thing Paul's talking about in 2 Timothy, is a really good example of that, when you're using that kind of love instead of the love that comes from Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we can't just have a form of godliness, and we can't just try to look like Christians and try to appear godly like the Pharisees that we just read about a minute ago. We have to show the power of God, not just look like it. We show the power of God like it says there in verse 5. And the power of God is love. And love is what makes our light shine. And that is what glorifies our Father in heaven. You know, it says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them and hate what is wrong, and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So we're supposed to love each other with the same love that Jesus loved us with, you know, not the fake love that the Pharisees and the scribes talked about all the time. You know, they looked godly to everybody, and everybody was afraid of them because they looked down on everybody. And people weren't afraid of Jesus. It said the common people were glad to see Jesus when he came. They were glad to go eat with him because he loved them like he loved himself. So we have to genuinely love one another, not just say we do. You know, we started out talking about how our character should be changing so that we can become more like Jesus. The word for love that almost always, when you see it in the Bible, describes the love of Jesus, it's a little bit different even than the good one that we just talked about, because it always involves the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been talking for weeks about the changes that we need to make in our lives and how, you know, to have the characteristics that Jesus had and how we can't make those changes on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to make those changes because, you know, those are fruits of the Spirit. It's the same thing. If we're going to love like Jesus, we have to be surrendered to him and not be led by our flesh, our old sin nature that we talked about last week, but we have to be submitted to and led by the Holy Spirit. The kind of love that Jesus has only comes from the Holy Spirit. Like I just said, it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we can fake. We can't fake that kind of love. It's either there, you're either surrendered to the Spirit, or it's not, and you're not surrendered to the Spirit. You're still walking in your old sin nature. You know, we might be able to do some kind acts for somebody, you know, change a flat tire for them or something like that, but we can't show the genuine love of Christ to them without the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 is where the list of the fruits of the Spirit is. But the very first one is love. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. You know, we can't do any of those things without the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we can't imitate it. Like we just read that verse a minute ago in 2 Timothy, we might look like the real thing, but we can't be the real thing. We'll have a form of godliness, but we won't have, you know, the power that comes with the love of Christ if we're not submitted to the Holy Spirit. You know, we everything else that we do, trying to do good or be good or do good things or even trying to love somebody, it's always going to end somehow being self-serving, just like the Pharisees were. You know, if we're not doing it through the Holy Spirit, it's just not real. And our good works, too, will wind up just being things that make us look good. Or the things we do will end up, you know, benefiting us somehow instead of the people that should be benefiting. And instead of just doing it out of love for somebody else, if we're doing things without the Holy Spirit, our motives always wind up being self-serving. Without the Holy Spirit, that's the only one that we're worried about pleasing. You know, we might, even if we didn't start out that way, even if we had good intentions to do something good for somebody or do the right thing, if we're trying to do it on our own goodness and our own righteousness, in the end, it will wind up just being self-serving for ourselves. And it won't let our light shine. It won't bring any glory to God. We'll just wind up trying to make ourselves look good, even if we didn't start out that way. If we go backwards in Galatians chapter 5, the verses 16 and 17, this is what I'm talking about right here. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So if we're being led by our flesh or our old sinful nature, you know, we won't be able to do the spiritual things that we want to do. But the good side of that verse is that if we are being led by the Spirit, we won't be able to do the bad things that we would want to do either. If we're being led by the Spirit, we won't have those desires. You know, like we talked about last week, we won't have the desires to get even or to hate somebody or to gossip about them. Like we've been talking about the last few weeks, we'll have the desire to do good things. We talked about these verses last night. I love these verses. They made a big change in my life. In Romans 12, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, when we're being led by the Spirit, we won't want to fight back and get even. We want to overcome the evil and to actually get the other person to Jesus too. You know, we were talking last night that somebody is doing evil things and being mean and, you know, acting that way. They're not happy. Nobody's happy when they're like that. They're miserable. And the best way to do that is like it says there, to overcome evil with good. And that, once they do that, then they're not your enemy anymore. And we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a little bit too. The other thing about the love of Christ that I want to point out is it's almost every time you see that word for love there, it's almost always plural. It's in the Spirit, and it's plural. It's not self-serving like the one we just talked about, like the Pharisees. It's not self-seeking, you know, what I love and what I want. But the love of Christ that we're talking about now is always for everybody. It's for the good of everyone, not just for a few. You know, for example, for God so loved the world, you know, not one or two. He loved the whole world. That's everybody. Paul said, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That's everybody. The church includes everybody. So the same love that Christ loves the church with, you're supposed to love your wives with. And that's, you know, for your husbands, your children, for everybody. That's love through the Holy Spirit. Like I said, every time you see that word love there, the root of that word, it's always plural. It's talking about us and we and all of us. A good example of that is in Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand. See, all those things, he's including everybody. We have and we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, that's never self-seeking. And God didn't just shed it abroad in, you know, a heart over here and a heart over there. He shed it abroad to everybody. It's in all our hearts, in us, Paul said. It's always we or us, you know, not me and mine like the other one. Another good example of that in the love of Christ is in Romans 5:8. That's one of my favorite verses. It says, God commended his love towards us. Plural again, you know, that's for everybody. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of Christ is for everybody. And that, you know, that's one of the hardest things about it for us to grasp, is it's unconditional. You know, we just read in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's a choice. You know, like we've been talking about, all those other different character traits that we needed to change to become like Christ, you know, humility, honesty, truthfully, you know, being truthful, all those different things, those are choices. You know, last week we talked about forgiving and obeying, and we talked about love is a choice too. All those things are choices. You have to choose to forgive. You have to choose to obey. And we also, if it's unconditional, we have to choose to love, even if the person is being unlovable. One of the definitions that I looked up of love is love is a judgment. I really like that one because it, for me anyway, it helps love being unconditional a whole lot easier. You know, we have to, once we make our choice, make that judgment, like that definition said, whether you're guilty or not, I either judge in my heart that I'm going to love you anyway, no matter what, and it's settled, and I'll love you no matter what. Or, remember I told you a few minutes ago that that one definition of love could mean either love or hate. This is that definition, the one that's about judgment. We either judge in our hearts that I'm going to love you no matter what, and it's settled, it don't matter what you do, I'm going to love you. It works the other way too. Or I will condemn you in my heart, and I will despise you no matter what you do. You know, there's nothing you could do to make me love you. I've already judged in my heart that I don't like you, I hate you, I don't love you. And if we make those kind of judgments, we'll never love somebody. We don't give them a chance. You know, like I said, those both come from the same root word. One way to love, the judgment that means that we will love somebody, it described it like to fill them with light from the inside out until they're just pure light. You know, no matter what they do, we can't see the wrong that they've done to us. That's just the way God sees us. You know, when we accept Christ, we're filled up with the light of Christ. So when God sees us, we're still sinners, but he sees that light that Christ put in us. And the other way that I talked about, the description of it is to be filled with darkness in the same way. You're completely filled, you fill that person in your mind, you fill that person completely with darkness until there's no light in them at all. And, you know, we remove all hope of loving that person. If we make those kind of judgments, then we don't give that person any hope at all. We'll never love that person because we've made up our minds and judged that we won't do it. And that is what's wrong with so many things in the world today. People have just made that decision in their heart that they're not going to love, no matter what. And we can't be like that. Not if we're going to love like Jesus does. In Matthew 6 is a good example of that. Verses 22 through 24. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. And what that means, being single, is to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. You know, not be trying to jump both sides of the fence. If you're totally submitted to the Holy Spirit, then your eye is single. And in verse 23, if your eye is evil, that means if you're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit, but if you're still being led by your sin nature, then your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other one, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other one. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when we judge people, we make that judgment, whether we see them in light or we see them in darkness. You know, we'll either love them no matter what, or like verse 24 there says, we'll despise them no matter what, no matter what they do. That word mammon in verse 24 is referring to an evil spirit. You know, a lot of people identify it with money, and it's used a lot talking about money, but actually mammon is an evil spirit. So we can judge people with the Holy Spirit and love them like Jesus does unconditionally, or we can despise them with that evil spirit, and they never have a hope of us loving them or forgiving them. You know, if we make a judgment like that against somebody, we'll never forgive them either. And I'm glad that God chose to love us while we were his enemies. I'm glad he loved us with light instead of the darkness. You know, like we just read in Romans 5:8, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. But if we go on down in Romans chapter 5 and read verses 9 and 10, we were enemies too. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we were saved by the love of God when he sent Christ after us. And it was the good love, the light is what saved us. You know, we were enemies of God, and God brought us to himself through Christ. And if we're going to be Christians and we're going to be Christ-like, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, that's why Jesus tells us over and over through the Gospels, he tells us to pray for our enemies and to bless those that persecute us. You know, the Bible says that once we're in Christ, there's no difference in us. You know, we talked about that a little bit a minute ago. If you got somebody that you just can't stand, or somebody that's being mean to you, or maybe you're the one being mean, Christ is the one that makes everybody equal. In Christ, there is no difference in us. That's what it says in Romans 10 and verses 12 and 13. It says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And what that means in today's standards is believers and unbelievers. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that love that Christ has for us, the same love that saved us, will save the other person too. If they can get to Jesus, you know, they're no longer enemies. Like we just read, we were enemies, but now we're not enemies anymore. And they don't have to be enemies either. So we have to choose to love. We don't have to like people. You know, there are unlikable people. And I'm pretty sure I was one of those before I came to Christ. But we can love them by praying for them, like Jesus said, pray for our enemies. You know, even if it's an old relationship and you can't get along with that person anymore, you know, if you see them struggling in an area, or if you hear that they need help in an area, you know, say they need help paying their light bill or something, or they need food in their house or something, you can still love them without getting involved with them. You can love your enemies through your actions. You know, you can bless people who persecute you without them ever even knowing you did it. You know, but God will see you doing that stuff. If you go pay somebody's light bill, even after they've been mean to you, or if you know they need food or something and you send them some food through somebody, God sees you doing that stuff, and he will bless you for doing it. And the love of God, like we said a while ago, is the power of God. And when people realize that God loved them, by the help that you're providing them, whether they know it's coming from you or not, they'll know it came from God. And that shows the power of God, and it shows the love of God. And when people realize that God loves them, that's what draws people to him. You know, religion and judgment and all those things, that don't draw anybody to God. That keeps more people out of church than it brings into church. People run away from judgment, and they run away from condemnation. It's the love of God that draws people to him. You know, that's what leads us to repentance. And when we realize that God already loves us right where we are, so, you know, that's what brings us to Christ, when we realize that. So when we love people right where they are, like we just read in Romans 5:8, the way Jesus did us, that's what leads them to Jesus too. You know, if you'll think back to what drew you to Jesus, you know, I can think back of what drove me to Jesus, and that was, you know, I'd hit rock bottom. I didn't have anything to offer myself or anybody else or God, and Jesus was right there, and he loved me just the way I was. He didn't ask me to change, didn't ask me to do anything. I didn't have to earn it. He just loved me. And if we can love people like that, that's what leads people to Jesus. And then they're not enemies anymore. You know, we need to realize that we only have one enemy, and try to love people like Jesus so they can be from him just the way we got freed from him through Jesus Christ. Do the same thing for them that Jesus did for us. I don't know why a lot of people get saved and then they think that other people are not worth the same thing that happened to them. We should be more than willing to share what God has done for us with other people. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says God is love. Let's see. It says, he that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. So if we can't love people the way God loves us, it says we don't even know God, for God is love. If we want people to see Jesus in us, then we need to be love. You know, we need to be love in word, in deed. We need to be love in all we do. You know, we don't need to just tell people we love them. We need to be love for them. You know, that's what makes a church family strong. It's when we actually love one another. That's what makes the body of Christ. You know, as long as we're going around tearing each other down, there's a couple of places in there where Paul calls it devouring one another. You know, we just came out of a season where everybody was spreading rumors about each other on Facebook, or, you know, things that weren't even true, trying to make each other look bad, and just hating each other within the church. And that is so far from the way God actually is. It's pitiful. So if we're going to be the men and women that God wants us to be, we have to learn to love one another the way that we should. Like we talked about a minute ago, we have to choose to love one another, to see each other as full of light and not of darkness. We need to make that judgment in our hearts that no matter what you do, I'm going to love you anyway. And even if you're unlovable when you're going through a hard time, I'm still going to go out of my way to help you, no matter if you're nice to me or not. That is the love of God. It says he makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. All of God's blessings are not just for certain people. They're for everybody. And God's not a respecter of persons. So if we're going to be like God, we can't be respecters of persons either. You know, we just have to live the way God tells us to live. And we can't judge other people. We have to take them the way they are, love them the way Christ did, and trust that he will make the changes in them, just the same way he made the changes in us to get us where we are. But that's all I've got this week. I mean, that's a lot. If you really sit down and think about those things, there was so much of my life I had to change before I could actually start loving like Christ. And selfishness and judgment and all that stuff were some of the first things that had to go. You know, we don't have the right to judge. We don't have the right to condemn anybody. So if we're doing those things, we need to be honest with God and take them to Him and ask Him to help us with them so that we can love each other the way God tells us to. But I hope that helps somebody to understand a little more about how we can love like Christ if we choose to, and not be so self-centered and so critical of other people. You know, when I realize what God has done for me, you know, I really don't have any room to be critical of anybody. I'm undeserving of what I have. God loved me because He chose to love me, not because I earned it. And we have to make that same choice to love other people the same way God did for us. But I hope that does help somebody. But that's really all I've got this week. And I thank y'all for coming out. And I thank you for tuning in online. And we'll see you again next week. I'll dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll just be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for helping me get up here and share that. That was another one, Lord, that wasn't really easy to preach, because sometimes it's hard to hear that we're not loving the way that we should be loving. It's hard to hear that maybe our love's not genuine, Lord. It's hard to hear that sometimes we just come to church and we have the form of godliness, but we don't have your power in us and moving through us because we don't love the way we're supposed to, or we're not surrendered to your Spirit and letting it lead us the way that we should. And Father, I just pray that you would work on our hearts this week and help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, and ask you for help in these areas, Lord, if we need it, because I know you're faithful and you will help us, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just lift this up to you and give you all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.